You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Attention all theater lovers! This Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
But they say the hardest part of going to the gym is putting your trainers on, isn't it? So, you know, it's persisting. It's getting past that first stage and having things snowball after that. So, you know, I'm an advocate for not having a million alarms on in the morning, because I think if you have one alarm, you force yourself to get up with that, you're up. You're forced to be up, and the day will then pan out. Because I would stay in bed all day if I hit snooze and snooze and snooze. So yeah, I guess that's my kind of very vague advice, in that I ran out of excuses.
Hey, what's going on? Welcome to Built for the Stage podcast. This is Joe Roscoe, founder of Built for the Stage, Broadway's number one fitness platform. If you want to try a free trial, go to the website builtforthestage.com or simply click the description link in this episode. Special thanks to our producing team, the Broadway Podcast Network. You can check them out at bpn.fm. All right, always a special guest, an exciting guest for you today. Across from the pond, he's currently just opened Prince of Egypt in the West End. Please welcome to the pod, Adam Philippe. Hey, Adam.
Hi. How's it going?
It's going well over here in Queens, New York, and NYC. Starting my morning off with you, and super excited to do so. So thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
So we were just getting into your opening night, the excitement of Prince of Egypt. Run us through that first off, like maybe the tech or the rehearsal leading to opening night, just some special moments you might have had. And then, you know, what has come to pass these past couple of days?
Sure. We had about 3 weeks to get everything back together again, plus a little bit of understudy time for us understudies beforehand, a few days, because we had a bit of a disaster last year in terms of understudies all being thrown on in the last week, because COVID was taking people out left, right, and center. So all of the lead understudies ended up going on in the last week with very, very little rehearsal. So they tackled that, this year brilliantly. We had about 3 weeks of putting it all up together. And then, yeah, Thursday night, we opened again after 15 months, of theaters being dark. And I think we're one of the first ones out of the, out of the gates. There's not many. I think Les Mis is up, Amelie's up, Jamie's up, and I think there's not an awful lot more. I think a lot kind of later in July, a lot of our theatres are opening up because restrictions are going to ease again. But yeah, it was great Thursday night, and it was electric, and just the atmosphere. You could tell that people were so hungry to be back in a theatre. And you know, our show, you just have to take one listen to When You Believe. It's such a show about hope and, you know, finding your place. And I think a lot of us really, really connected with that. And the audience ate it up, even at 50% capacity. It was amazing. The energy was just incredible. And I did Thursday night and then woke up Friday morning ready to get it again. And I got flagged on track and trace. So my castmates did last night an amazing swing called Daniel went on for me. And I hear he aced his West End debut and his swing debut. My castmates are doing two shows today. And I am writing out a PCR test, hopefully ready to go back on Monday. So
for anyone that doesn't know about the tracking or what you're maybe particularly talking about, yeah, go into that just a little bit. What happened?
Track and trace is, so we all have the NHS app, the National Health Service app on our phones that basically will flag up one day out of the blue and been like, you have been in the same space as someone who has come down with a positive case of COVID-19. You have to self-isolate. And you can't do anything about it. You have to drop everything and go, well, that's how it is. And our producers have been so understanding. Our team has provided me with a PCR test. And it's actually a lot less complicated than a standard track and trace, because I've come into contact with someone who is in a cast with someone who's been positive. So it's kind of second degree, if that makes sense. The middleman has come back negative. So we're pretty certain I'm going to be negative as well. Who knows? I could have it right now, but I'm going to find out later on today if my PCR comes back negative. And if it does, I'll be back on Monday, which I'm looking forward to.
Well, best wishes. And we plan for that to happen for you for Monday. let's rewind about opening or leading up to that with rehearsals. A lot of us in the States with performers, there's a lot of anxiety, or there's a lot of like, will this come back? Will I be able to perform in the same way that I used to? Am I going to be ready? Did you have those kind of emotions? How did you overcome them? How was it getting back on your feet once, you know, the pandemic or the lockdown was kind of opened up for you all to start rehearsing again?
Absolutely. Those anxieties were there. You know, to go over a year without doing a professional gig, without doing an 8-show week, you know, I've kept the maintenance going, but you can't put yourself in show condition when there's no show. Like you can, but you're going to peak at some point. And I don't know, I really lost the motivation this year. I just constantly being told it was going to open at this date and then it pushed back. I gave up hope. Like I was like, I will get myself ready when I know we are coming back. And then obviously there was that anxiety, because you don't want to start getting into show condition 6 months before the show, because you'll burn yourself out already. So there was that coming back, and I've been very pleasantly surprised by how natural it's felt just to come back and just let whatever's going to happen and build up slowly. Yeah, we've had 3 weeks to kind of ease our way back into it, which some might say is no time at all. But everything has come back fairly naturally. And I think we're amazing as human beings, the things we retain. I would love to ease some of that anxiety. It definitely will come back. And fingers crossed, very soon. You know, it's one of the oldest professions in the world. Never stay down for too long.
Right, right. Yeah, I try to encourage my clients with that, in saying that it's one thing to come into something with no previous history or training, and then it's another thing to come in with already a foundation that has been built. And when you have the foundation, getting back to a 10 is a lot easier when you've been there before, as opposed to going from zero. You know, you're not starting from scratch. The body will come back to its true stride, its true form. So thanks for saying that. Appreciate it. Let's get into a little bit about your self-defense practice and your business that you provide to people that are seeking to learn self-defense. I'm very excited about this. How did you get into it? Tell us all about it.
Well, my first love before musical theatre was martial arts. It always has been. I started when I was 4 years old as a kickboxer, and I used to compete. I got my black belt when I was, I think, 13. It's really been a part of my life since I can remember. And I've always tried to incorporate martial arts into the performing world as well. Like, I'm the fight captain for Prince of Egypt. So just like a dance captain, maintains the choreography of the show, I do that with the fight choreo. So that's really rewarding as well. And I really like that extra responsibility. But there was still something missing. And in lockdown, I decided that that was my thing that was missing. There was a couple kind of unpleasantries in the village in terms of like muggings and stuff like that. We live in quite a nice area, but you know, it happens everywhere, doesn't it? So there was a couple of things like that, and it really got me thinking there's a hunger for this. People want to, you know, especially with, I don't know if you guys heard about Sarah Everard, the girl from Clapham in London, who got abducted recently. There was a massive cry for the fact that a lot of, particularly women, don't feel safe at past a certain hour or walking alone anywhere. And there was this massive outcry for it. And that has kind of been a real push for me to get on with it and to teach it and to become licensed, which I have this year. In the lockdown, I got my insurance, I got my license, and yeah, I've been teaching people for a couple months now.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
That's great. A lot of people have this story in the pandemic of where it I don't want to say it forced them, but it encouraged them, I guess, if you will, to go after those other things that they have aspired to or have put on the shelf for a little bit. What got you to take those first couple of steps? Because a lot of the times getting started with something, the difficulty is just getting started. So whether that was like getting licensed or other steps you had to take, how was that getting started? And like, what insight could you share with us that might help others out there listening that have something on the shelf that they just can't quite get going with?
Do you know what, for me, it was quite specific for me because before the pandemic, I was thinking about this and I was offering it as kind of like a goodwill nonprofit community service, but I ran into obstacles left, right, and center. You can't use our venue if you don't have insurance. We can't be liable, X, Y, Z. So I was like, well, that's kind of died a death, hasn't it? And then when the theater shut down, I went, well, now this is my chance to do it. Almost like, you know, I kept telling myself I didn't have the time. And then when everything dried up, I was like, well, now I do. No, I definitely have the time. But they say the hardest part of going to the gym is putting your trainers on, isn't it? So, you know, it's persisting. It's getting past that first stage and having things snowball after that. So, you know, I'm an advocate for not having a million alarms on in the morning, because I think if you have one alarm and you force yourself to get up with that, you're up. You're forced to be up and the day will then pan out. Because I would stay in bed all day if I hit snooze and snooze and snooze. So yeah, I guess that's my kind of very vague advice in that I ran out of excuses and I just said to myself, push past this. You're going to have to study. You're going to have to take exams. And I'm so glad I did. And I'm so glad I did it in the hiatus because now I'm licensed. I have to renew it obviously every now and again, but this is something that I can run on my days off, on my Sundays. And once restrictions ease up, I'm going to get back to having a club on Sundays, which I'm really looking forward to, something that's not to do with theatre.
Yeah, that. Oh, let's get into that in a second. I love what you just said there about that, something that has not to do with theatre. But that advice you just gave about, you know, the hardest part of the gym is just putting on your trainers. I love that. We'll probably use that as the cold lead-in for this episode. I love that. What I wanted to ask was, obviously, we can't do anything physically. We're not in a room together to show people that are listening. But is there any like verbal advice you could give to someone, like if they find themselves in a dangerous situation or something? What are some like off the top cues or tips that you could give to people listening?
Sure. I mean, look, it's a muscle that you have to train. There's no kind of like slap a band-aid on that and it'll work. However, my main thing that I always teach is self-defense is when you're being asked of something that you're not prepared to give up. And that's a conversation that you have with yourself. If I was like your average Joe Bloggs and I met someone in the street who was like, give me your wallet, what's worth more, my wallet or the idea that something could really badly happen to me? You give them the wallet. You know, it's always a decision with that. And we don't like it, but you're worth more than a wallet or a phone or, you know, a bag or something like that. What I really specialize in is when the price is too high to conform to. So that, I think, that's my number one, is you have to figure out if what you're being asked of or what the attacker in this altercation is demanding of you. And if it is worth more to try, and if you have no other option, if you might as well try and fight back, that's what I teach. Because at the end of the day, if someone asks you for your phone, it's less hassle to give it to them than it is to get into some sort of fight, especially if you've not been doing kickboxing since you were 4 years old. Now, I actually was a victim of an attempted mugging about 4 years ago now, right outside my home. Now, that's a different story for me because I have been a competitive fighter for nearly two decades now. So it's a different question for me. In that situation, it was less hassle for me to find a new wallet than it was to teach two kids a lesson, you know? So it's about you and it's about your relationship with self-defense. If it's a muscle that you've trained, obviously there's more possibilities for you to do with it. But for your average Joe Bloggs, it's a question of asking, am I prepared to give this person what they're asking for? And if not, that's when you may as well fight back.
Right. So what the service you provide, it's obviously for when you're protecting your life or your physical well-being and things of that nature.
Yeah, I'm really not one for materialistic things. I the things of value in my life are relationships, experiences with each other, and that's what my style of self-defense protects. I couldn't care less if your bag got nicked. Obviously, there's a traumatic aftermath of that, which I do deal with in my sessions. You know, there's a recovery from having an incident like that, and half of my a quote that I use a lot is, it's better to be a warrior in a garden than a gardener in a war, which essentially means having the knowledge and having the confidence that you could deal it with a situation is half the fight. If you can walk with that confidence and not spend your energy on, is this going to happen? Is this going to happen? Am I going to be okay? If you can walk with the confidence knowing that you probably would be, you know, 9 times out of 10, nothing's going to happen to you. And on that 1 time out of 10 that something might, you can then apply it. That's my whole image.
Yeah, I'm stealing that quote as well. I love that.
And that's, that's not me. Sun Tzu, I think, said that first, but I definitely use it.
Yeah, it's something it's one I haven't heard. So love that. And it's also applicable to like so many other things than just self-defense.
Yeah.
Just that state of readiness and taking yourself to another level, regardless of you having the opportunity to use it at that given moment or not. Let's close out the episode going back to what you mentioned with balance, meaning like you had said the importance of having something outside of theater. How do you apply that on a daily, weekly, monthly, everyday basis in your life so that you can allow yourself to step away from theater so that when you come back in, you're better for it? I think this is really important. I tell people a lot like, hey, I rather you be a person that does theater as opposed to a theater person, because you're a person first. So tell us a little bit about your personal perspective with that.
Absolutely. And I think this is very near the top of the list in jobs that you can get completely submerged into and completely lose yourself. And I think this year has put that massively in perspective for me. And I was having this chat last night, actually. I had moments along the way of being like, what I do is I dress up and I sing. And when it was, you know, when it was the conversation of early last year, when a theatre's coming back, I'm like, let's just make sure the NHS is fine and funded first. Yes, I miss my job, but there's a difference between surviving and thriving. And I think the line gets blurred sometimes, but theatre sits in thriving. It's culture. It's food for the soul. It's not like 9 times out of 10, it's not the thing that's keeping our heart pumping. And I think realizing that this year has made me take a step back and say, I do massively value what I do. And I do think it has a very valid place in society and in the cultural world. However, it can't consume me. I have to be a person and it has to just be a job. It can be a job that I adore and I want to get up and go to every day, which I think if you can find a job like that, you're winning. But you, at the end of the day, a job should fund your life. You know, if we're taking it right back to the building blocks of what a job is meant to be, it's supposed to fund your life. And if you don't have a life because you're, you know, it is possible to be a workaholic in the theatre industry without sometimes even realizing it.
Yeah, love that. Love that. All right, well, everyone listening, find that balance, find that love and passion outside of just theater. And I guarantee you it'll bring a freshness and a newness and a appreciation even more so for your craft. So Adam, that's it for this episode. Thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate getting to know you. And
yeah, it's lovely to meet you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Best wishes with the show. And yeah, everyone just check out the description of this episode. You can find Adam's Instagram handle there and other ways that you can learn about what he's got going on. Also his website for his self-defense service that he has. So Adam, thanks again. Appreciate you.
Thank you, mate.
Everyone, thank you again for listening to Build for the Stage podcast. Once again, if you want to try that free trial, go to the website, buildforthestage.com. All right. Until next time, Joe Roscoe signing off.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.